Hold on to your Bibles and let's confess the Word of God.
Yeah.
And say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am. What it says I am.
What it says I am.
I can do.
I can do.
What it says I can do.
What it says I can do.
I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
Not a doubter.
Not a doubter.
I'm a doer.
I'm a doer.
Not just a hearer.
Not just a hearer.
And my life.
And my life.
Is the better.
Is the better.
After having heard.
After having heard.
The word of faith.
The word of faith.
Faith comes by hearing.
Faith comes by hearing.
And hearing.
And hearing.
And hearing by.
And hearing by.
The word of God.
The word of God.
Amen.
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 And amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I'm going to continue on in our sermon series of victorious living and overcoming strongholds. And today what I want to do is I want to talk about exposing Satan's strategies.
Amen.
Exposing Satan's strategies. And before I get started in the actual sermon today, I want to just give a little overview of what we've come to so far.
Amen.
And if you would look at your Bibles in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, that was our taking off point, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Are you there?
Amen.
Amen. The Bible reads in the first verse, by the humility and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold toward you when away. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be toward some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons that we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they are divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every high thing that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ.
Amen.
And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. The first thing I wanted us to understand was that your mind is the battlefield of good and evil.
Amen.
And in these verses, it says, even though we were walking in the flesh, there's this invisible war going on around us that's not in the flesh. And God has equipped us for the victory in that battle, but we have to engage in the battle.
Amen.
It says in verse number 4, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power. And what the devil has done is, when you got saved, I want you to know, when we got saved, every single person had multiple strongholds in their minds. No one was born saved.
Amen.
Am I right about it?
Amen.
No one was born saved. Everyone was born lost into a world that's corrupted. And in that world, whether it's your family, whether it's entertainment or your own thoughts, all of us develop mental strongholds. Yeah. We gave a definition of strongholds. We said that a stronghold is a fortress that the devil uses to protect his place to control our lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. It's a mental stronghold. And we're fighting the battle against an evil enemy. And he sits up here in our minds. But that's why Jesus died on the cross. He came to set us free.
Yes.
To bring us forth, to liberate us from the lies of the devil. Verse number 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, we demolish arguments and every high thing that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Satan's only purpose in your life and in my life is that for us not to know God.
Amen.
He doesn't want you to know God. That's why he implants things like fear and lust and worry.
Yes.
And doubt.
Yes.
Depression. Discouragement.
Yes.
Jealousy.
Yes.
Envy. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter to him. He doesn't care about you. He just wants to put some high thing in your mind to occupy your mind.
Yes.
See, it's the focus of your mind that keeps you from knowing God.
Amen.
Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
It's the focus of your mind that keeps you from knowing God.
Amen.
It keeps you from reading your Bible. It keeps you from praying.
Yes.
It keeps you from coming to church.
Yes.
It keeps you from focusing on something good. See, when Jesus died on the cross, he made it possible for us to be complete.
Yes.
In him and his rule.
Yes.
Which extends over everything.
Over everything.
Everything.
Every event.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes.
Every enemy. Every threat.
Yes.
It extends over everything.
Thank you, Jesus.
See, because it's in him that we discover our victory. It's in Christ.
Yes.
There's nothing lacking in his headship and his rulership. Am I right about that?
Yes.
See, when you trusted Christ for your salvation, you were transferred from the dominion of darkness.
Yes.
Come on.
Into his kingdom of light.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
You have a new kingdom now.
Thank you, Jesus.
And when you and I believed in Christ, God, he changed our location. We've been transferred to a new kingdom.
Yes.
And it's his kingdom agenda.
Amen.
And that's God's rule over every area of life, saints.
Yes.
But Satan tries to stop that and hinder that. But I want to expose him today.
Yes.
See, I know you heard me tell you the story about a farmer who was constantly having his watermelon patches stolen. His watermelon stolen by thieves. And finally, he came up with a brilliant idea to stop these thieves. He poisoned one of the watermelons. Then put up a sign in his watermelon field, and it read, "Warning. One of these watermelons has been poisoned." And the next day, the farmer went out into the field, and he found that none of his watermelons had been stolen because the thieves didn't know which ones were poisoned. So he was satisfied that the idea worked. But then 2 days later, the farmer, after he put up his sign was altered. And it said, "Two of these melons have been poisoned." And the farmer had to destroy his whole crop because he didn't know which melons were poisoned.
Wow.
And he said, that's what it's like dealing with the devil. No matter what you come up with, he can come up with something better.
Amen.
No matter what sign you put up, he can change the wording. No matter what strategy you devise, you can't outwit him. Satan has a definite strategy, and it can be summed up in one word, and that is deception.
Yes.
Amen. That's right.
Satan's strategy in your life and in my life is to deceive us.
Yes.
He's the master deceiver. You might even call him the camouflage king. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let me know when you get there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We all there? The scripture reads in the third verse, "Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshiped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming that he is God." Look at verse 8. "And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie, in all the ways that wickedness deceive those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so to be saved." The reason Satan has turned to deception is because he cannot outpower God.
That's right.
Satan tried to overcome God in heaven, and he failed miserably. See, Satan's power will never be a match for God's power. Amen?
Amen?
So what he had to do was come up with a plan to seek to outmaneuver him. And evidently, in his rebellion, Satan forgot that God can do something that he cannot do. And that's create ex nihilo, which means to create something out of nothing. By simply speaking it into existence. See, God looked at nothing and said, "Light be."
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes.
And then there was light. Light appeared. But Satan cannot create anything. All he can do is manipulate and maneuver what's already been created.
Yes.
Since he cannot outmatch God's power, Satan has to maximize the power that he does have. Amen. And deception is his strong suit. So he's turned deception into an art form. And see, in this passage says that this deception through the lawless one will be so powerful that he will sit in the temple of God and people will think he is God.
Mercy.
That's a masterful deception. He will sit in the temple of God and people will think he is God. But you know, we don't have to wait to see that, am I right? I mean, why else can you explain people giving up all their possessions, everything that they own, and committing suicide in the name of religion? You remember Johannesburg?
Yes.
David Koresh and all them. That's a masterful deception. And I want to remind us that just because Satan's power is no match for God doesn't mean that he's powerless.
Right.
Satan is a master deceiver.
Yes, he is.
And you should never say that that will never happen to me. And the reason you should never say that that won't happen to you is because Satan has constitutional superiority over men and women. Somebody ought to say amen to that.
Amen.
See, he's an angel. A spirit being. Satan does not have the limitations of flesh and blood.
Amen.
And you can't compete with him on the level of deception. You can't deceive a deceiver. See, and secondly, he has millions of years of experience at being the devil. Listen, you are not the first human being he's been up against.
That's right.
Am I right? See, he's been up better than you. Watch this. And won. One thing Satan has learned during all these years is that he has the ability to transform himself. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 14 says, "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light." He's the master chameleon. He can become any color he wants to be in order to make his point. So deception is his agenda. He's a master deceiver, saints, who the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20 will deceive all the nations of the world. See, another reason that Satan is so powerful in carrying out his strategy is that he commands this massive organization of evil. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, against powers, against rulers of this darkness of this world,
yes,
against spiritual wickedness in high places."
Yes.
In other words, Satan's organization is well run and heavily disguised.
Yes.
I said it's well run and heavily disguised.
Yes.
He heads a spiritual mafia. And that it controls people and even whole nations. I mean, how else can you have a Hitler? Or Stalin. That's why there's no substitute for Bible doctrine.
Amen.
Somebody ought to say amen to that. There's no substitute for Bible doctrine. I mean, I love praise and worship, but it's not a substitute for Bible doctrine.
Amen.
I love fellowship. We have fellowship after every service. I love fellowship, but there's no substitute for Bible doctrine. Being busy in the church, but there's no substitute for Bible doctrine.
Amen.
Because what Bible doctrine gives you is the meat and potatoes that you need for your Christian life.
Amen.
But the problem is that we have a lot of dessert Christians. They want peach cobbler and cookies and cream and spiritual apple pie. You know, they're dessert Christians. Now, there's nothing wrong with dessert. I like dessert. But you can't live on it or you'll die. See, you have to have some meat and potatoes and some vegetables. See, and listen to me. All of that won't be exciting.
Yes.
And energetic and make you jump and flip like some of these televangelists will have you think. And everything is nice. It's all gravy. But how many know there are some tragic things that happened in the Word of God?
Amen.
It wasn't all good. But what Bible doctrine will do for you is it will stick to your spiritual bones, saints. And when the enemy comes, you will have built up a filter that will block out anything that the enemy tries to throw at you.
Yes.
And you'll know that something just ain't right. See, and that's why Paul told his young protege Timothy, he said, "Preach sound doctrine."
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Am I right?
Yes,
he says, "Preach sound doctrine."
Amen.
Tell the people what they need to hear, not what they want to hear.
Amen.
And I believe that's why this church isn't full.
Amen.
Amen.
See, people want to feel good. They want the word to make them feel good. But all of it ain't going to make you feel good.
That's right.
You need the truth.
Yes.
That's
Because without it, you have no meat and potatoes to live on. Go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. The enemy, he's cunning.
Yes, he is.
You there, Matthew chapter 13? Look at verse number 19. It says, when anyone hears the message of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is the seed sown along the path. As soon as the word comes, here comes the enemy trying to snatch that word from you. See, and don't think he's not trying to snatch that word from you even right now. Satan snatches the word because it's the only thing that he can't handle. See, he knows if the word of God sticks to your bones,
yes,
he has no room to maneuver. So he comes and he snatches it right away. He doesn't want the word to take root. So he comes and he snatches it. He has a program of deception. And his Satan's program is to produce a wonderful counterfeit, a wonderful counterfeit of God's work and the ways to lead us astray. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3, it says this. Go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3 says, oh, go ahead. Are you there? I'm sorry. I'm going to slow down a little bit for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 11.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Verse number 3 says, but I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's craftiness, your minds may somehow be led astray from the sincere and pure devotion of Christ. Paul said, I'm terrified. Just as Satan came and deceived Eve, he said, I'm terrified that he's going to deceive you the same way. And that's what an autonomous man has done, the independent man. He has created his own kingdom after Satan. He has a counterfeit view of ownership, Satan does. He told Eve she would be like God. See, he knew that a counterfeit promise. He knew that was a counterfeit promise. Am I right?
Yes.
Because he said he had tried that himself in Isaiah chapter 14, didn't he?
Yeah.
But he's still trying to, you know, tempting us to take things into our own hands, to set up our own kingdom, to try to live independently of God. He also told Eve that if she ate from the forbidden tree, he says that you will know good and evil. In other words, this is what he said. He said, you can make your own decisions about right or wrong. You don't need God telling you what to do. You can tell yourself what to do. You know, I told you about the guy, acquaintance. I was talking with at the store one time, and the guy says, I'm not coming to you. I'll never come to your church because you tell people what to do over there, how to live their lives according to the word of God. I said, yeah, you don't need to come over. You're right. Woo <Woo-hoo>! Woo! I mean, that's exactly what Satan told Eve. That came straight from hell. See, in other words, what he was saying is this. Nobody, including God, can tell me what to do. That's what he was saying. And that's what Satan got tired of when he was in heaven. God telling him what to do. And that's what people are tired of doing. They don't want nobody. Can I be real with y'all for a second here?
Yeah.
All right. You don't want nobody telling you what to do. Mm-hmm. Truth be told. Who do you think he is telling me what to do? How to live my life according to the word of God. That was what was wrong with the people of Israel. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because they didn't want to be told what to do.
Amen.
They had the word of God right before them. And they rebelled against it for 40 years because they didn't want to be told what to do. The sad fact is that they didn't make it. Satan told Eve, you can do your own thing. He's just saying, now, girl, you can do your own thing. You'll know best. Satan told Eve, you won't really die if you eat of the tree. God's lying to you. He's saying, this is what he's telling her. There's no consequences for your actions. You can do whatever you want without suffering any penalties. Come on, say amen, somebody. That's what he's telling her. He says, your eyes will be open. Do it your way and not God's way. In other words, watch this. Personal pleasure will be more important than truth. But the death that God warned them of did come to pass, didn't it? They lost their innocence. They lost their relationship with God. They lost their beautiful home in the garden. Come on. Satan cannot stand truth. He's a counterfeit. He even has counterfeit Christianity.
Amen.
He has phony doctrine according to 1 Timothy chapter 4. As well as being able to produce phony miracles. Did you know that the devil even has a phony communion table? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 21 says, you cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. There it is right there. You cannot have part of both the Lord's table and the table of demons.
Mercy. Mercy.
Phony communion table. He even got phony teachers. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Are you there? Verse number 13. Judge for yourselves, is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head covered? I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians. Chapter 11, I'm sorry, verse 13 says, for such people are false apostles, deceitful workers masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. Satan can make himself look like one of the nice guys. And he can do the same thing for his servants. See, he's a master deceiver. He's the camouflage king. And that's his strategy, is to deceive and confuse you. Satan's strategy is powerful, and is purposeful. And our enemy has a well laid out process to deceive and destroy. And it starts with desire. Lust. James chapter 1, verse 13 says, when tempted, no one should say, God has tempted me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then after the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Temptation is an attempt to get you to do a good thing in a bad way. An example. Food is good. Right? Food is good. But gluttony is a sin. Desire for money is good. But the love of money, come on somebody, is a sin.
Yes.
Watch this. Desire for sex is good. But immorality is a sin.
Yes.
Temptation is when you take a legitimate desire and use it in an illegitimate way.
Come on.
See, what Satan wants is your desire to master you and not you mastering over your desire.
Yes.
In other words, he wants your desire to take control.
That's right.
Satan can't make us do anything.
That's right.
But he can plant deceitful thoughts in our minds. See, he knows how to intertwine our desires with his twisted plans to lure us into his deception. He's good at that.
That's right.
He says, desire leads to deception. And deception leads to disobedience. Look at verse 15 again. It says, then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. God bless you. What James is saying is when an illegitimate desire is welcomed and acted upon, that act of conception produces a child called sin. And once a child has been conceived, its birth follows. In other words, committing disobedience is like an act of appropriation.
Right.
If I can say that, okay? The results will always, they'll always show up after a while.
That's right.
The child of disobedience is sin, and like any other child, sin will begin to grow once it's been burnt.
That's right. That's good.
Are you there?
Yes.
James also says when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. The end of verse 15 says, when it is full grown, it gives birth to death. Satan brings nothing but death and destruction with him. The scripture tells us in John 10:10, but that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy your life. And he does it by keeping you blinded to the light of God. So he's a master deceiver. He's the camouflage king. Look at verse 16, same book, James. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Don't be deceived. When Satan deceives and leads us into sin, he causes us to miss the goodness of God. So don't ever think that you have it better with Satan than you do with God. Verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly light, heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Jesus is the perfect example here. When Jesus was confronted by Satan with temptation in the wilderness, Jesus didn't say, let me think about that. I'm gonna get back to you.
That's right.
No, he didn't do that. He looked Satan right in the face and he dealt with it. Watch this. He dealt with it right on the spot.
Yes.
He said what? For it is written. He didn't meditate on these wrong desires. Satan's purpose for deception is to deflect you and I.
Yes.
Satan wants to interrupt God getting the glory, so he keeps non-believers from getting saved. Let me show you this. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He wants to keep non-believers from getting saved. And let's look at verse number 3. When you there, say amen.
Amen.
Verse number 3. And even if your gospel is veiled,
yes,
it is veiled to those who are perishing.
Yes.
The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ,
yes,
who was the image of God.
Yes.
See, because the more people get saved, the more glory God gets.
Amen.
So he doesn't want you witnessing to your unsaved friends.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to keep you ineffective. That's why he keeps you depressed. That's why he keeps you discouraged. That's why he keeps you under your circumstances rather than on top of them. Because he knows that you can't do anything for God if you're miserable.
Mm.
So he makes your life miserable. He makes your circumstances miserable. He makes your family miserable because God won't get the glory if you're too miserable to give it to him. Satan he's crafty. I mean, he's so crafty, he'll get you blaming God for your misery. Which means you're not giving God glory.
Yes.
You're taking glory away from him. So Satan, he's a master deceiver, and deception is his main game. And the Bible says he'll blind his kingdom on it. He'll build his kingdom on blinding you and deceiving you. He'll make you a deceiver. So he'll make you a deceiver so you can be a deceiver in the lives of others, because if you're deceived, then what you tell others will deceive them as well. I mean, if you don't know this, and that's why you have to be careful about what you're saying. Every idle word, the Bible says, you're going to be held accountable for. You just can't be out there telling people stuff. Well, I think. My opinion is. Nobody wants your opinion. I don't want you. Listen to me. You don't want me giving you my opinion. You want me to give you the word, right?
Amen.
Straight Jesus.
No chasing.
You don't come and say, Pastor, I want your opinion on my marriage falling apart. You want me to give you what God's word says about your marriage is going to be, your marriage is honorable before God.
Yes.
You want me to tell you that the Bible says that the two shall become one flesh. The problem is that the two are not operating as one flesh. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
That's what the problem is.
Amen.
He says the two shall become one.
Yes.
The problem is y'all not operating as one.
Amen.
Amen. So when you come and talk to pastor about it, you're like, I don't know if I want to hear that. When I was working at the prison, I used to have this sign on my wall behind my desk that says, if you don't want the truth, don't come in here.
Amen.
The guys would come in there, look at the sign, say, oh, I'll be back later. So what I was doing, in essence, was cutting out the riffraff. I ain't got time to be playing with you.
Amen.
God doesn't have time to be playing with you.
Amen.
You need the truth. This world is falling apart. You see what they're doing with our marriages today?
Mercy.
You need the truth.
Amen.
Yes.
Finally, the devil wants to deflect you and I from accomplishing the will of God for our lives by frustrating us and frustrating the will of God in our lives.
Amen.
Satan even tried to frustrate the accomplishment of God's will for Jesus' life. Right? God the Father's will for his son was to get to the cross.
Yes.
Am I right? But in the wilderness temptation, the devil tried to get Jesus to take the easy way out.
Yes.
Satan also tried to get one of Jesus' disciples to turn him away from the cross. Look at Matthew chapter 16. He tried to get one of the disciples to help him.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 16 verse 21 says, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders and chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. And then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord. Never, Lord. He said, this should never happen to you. Peter rebuked him and said, Lord, be quiet. You don't know what you're talking about. God forbid. Now, this is Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, using theology on the Son of God. About how wrong he is and what the will of God is.
Come on, man.
So I'm saying that to say this. Watch out for your Christian brothers and sisters sometimes.
Yes.
Right.
Try to stop you from getting where you're supposed to go.
Come on.
Peter said, God forbid. You're out of the will of God. Talking about going to the cross and all this other nonsense. Look at verse 23. He says, then Jesus turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Pump the brakes, man. Now, why did Jesus respond that way? Because Peter was under the influence of someone else and didn't even know it.
Right.
Watch this. And Peter was a preacher.
Yes.
He says, you're a stumbling block to me.
Yes.
You do not have the mind in the concern of God, but merely human concerns. In other words, you're not looking at this thing from God's point of view, but from man's point of view. See, Satan tried to get Jesus to focus on the suffering of the cross and not the resurrection. And if Satan wasn't afraid to try that on the Son of God, what makes you think he's not going to try it on you?
Amen.
Or leave you alone? So Satan's strategy is to prevent you and I from getting to the winner's circle. And receiving the crown of glory. And he has a powerful strategy and a powerful program set up, and he has a process in which to do it. But he's been exposed today.
Amen.
We exposed him today.
Yes.
You know, I don't know. I've never been in the military, but I have a lot of friends and that's been in the military, and they talk about the different things and equipment and things that the military has, and they have these inflatable rubber units that they use to as you know, they look like tanks and trucks. And the Army would place these decoys in strategic locations so that when the enemy was flying over them, you know, doing their reconnaissance, it would look like the Army was much bigger than it was. Well, Satan is busy inflating and placing his decoys all over the place to make you think he's much bigger and stronger than he is. And since Jesus' death and resurrection, it left Satan defeated. His only power is the power of deception.
That's right.
His only strategy is to deceive us.
Yes. Yes.
But what I want you to do is when you get home today, I want you to tell him, I know who you are. You've been exposed.
Yes.
And you can go straight to hell. Watch this. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You have the right and the authority to tell him that.
Amen.
You've been exposed, and I'm putting you on notice. You no longer have any power over my life, over my situations, over my circumstances, over my tests and over my trials. You are a defeated foe, and you are under my feet in Jesus' name. Come on and give God some praise, somebody. Hallelujah. We have to keep the enemy where he belongs, and that is underneath our feet. He's under our feet. That's where he is. And but he doesn't seem to get that picture. And the scripture says that he's relentless. He's like a roaring lion roaming, seeking whom he can devour. He's coming after you. He wants to destroy your life. But we have the victory in Jesus. Somebody ought to shout about that. He's been exposed. Christ defeated him at the cross on Calvary. The scripture says that he triumphed over him in victory.
Yes.
And exposed him. And not only that, but he took his weapons away.
Yes.
And sent him home like a little child, head hung down, crying like a little baby. You have the victory in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Come on, stand on your feet.